Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for each and every day, each and every breath. Lord, each and every revelation, Lord, that you give by your word. And Lord, we're thankful. We know that we don't know so much, Lord. We know there's so much we don't know. And Lord, we know that the only way any person, any Christian, any believer can know anything is if you give us a revelation. And Father, we're asking for that this morning. Lord, upon each heart, each soul that's here, those that would listen in, Lord, that the precious Holy Spirit, Lord, would anoint each one to receive and to understand, and that they could get the man's part out of the way, Lord, and that they would just see you, just see the word, Lord, the promise for this day. Lord, I know I'm full of mistakes and full of errors and so many things, but your word is perfect. Your spirit is perfect, Father. And Lord, we commit this service and each one to you this morning. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord this morning. We're so happy to see each one of you. And some of you have been missing you. And so we just thank God that you the door is open for you today. And we give him thanks and praise. Now, I'm going to do my best to get right into it. But I have a number of things I want to bring to your attention and share with you. One is, I think it was mentioned, but I want to mention it also, is that continue to remember Brother Rohan in prayer. He has went through a surgery and had some complications and different things. And so we want to continue to hold him up. And then also on that end, we want to continue to be in prayer for Brother Goomba as he's looking to make a trip over, and he really wants to go and visit with Brother Rohan, and for also to Kenya and, well, wherever he can make it to. And so it's, I tell you, if the money was there, it could just stay out all year. I tell you, when I was young and I first started going to India, the doors were wide open. You could walk into any village and they would put you in the pulpit. You didn't have to be associated. You didn't have to this be with this one or that one. And it's changed. It's changing Kenya. It's changed in different places in Africa. You know, now you call a pastor and, you know, tell him, say, hey, I'm in town and, you know, I'd love to come by and visit with you and minister if you feel led. And I say, well, brother, we don't agree. We don't agree. But you know, there was a time. It wasn't so long ago. There was a time the pulpit was open. It was just open. And so, but it's changed. It's changed in every country. And so, it's just the time that we're living in now. And that's how it is. But there's still many doors open. And so, what we want you to do is be praying, for the finances, concerning a journey. We know that the money is would the the church don't have so much money, but we want to support Brother Gomba in every way that we can. And we want to put the gospel out there because that's the goal. That's the purpose, is to get this revelation to the people. And so, and this revelation is this message. It's this message. It's not my revelation, Brother Gomba's revelation. It's what the voice of God has spoken in this day. And so that's what we're after. And then speaking on that, next we want to also, we're really, now we've been here and enjoying this home for a long time. And we don't want to wear out our welcome. If we know we're not going to. But Michael and Amanda has been so gracious. And you don't, I'm sure you know, especially you sisters, you know what the price that it cost to have somebody in your home a couple times a week, the preparation and the cleaning, all the things you've got to do. And so we have a building out here. If we can just get it together, we've good news. We just passed all of our rough-in inspections, the plumbing, the electrical, the HVAC, and the framing. So it's all now. We don't have any more to the very end. So now we're ready for the installation. Then we'll get that inspection. We will have that inspected. Then we no more until the very end. And so then we'll be ready for drywall, the trim, and the paint, and all of those things. And so we're at a good spot. Brother Michael and I spent some time yesterday talking about it. And, he's mostly been by himself. He spent a lot of hours out there by himself. And then sometimes his faithful wife will come and hold the board for him or whatever she can do. And so we really appreciate that. But we also want to be more of a part of it. And so now the next two phases are kind of expensive. And so we're thinking that we're going to be better if we can just buy materials and then do the work ourselves. And which is going to be a task because it's mostly been on Michael so far. And I feel bad that I haven't been in there with him so much, but we want to try. It wouldn't take much. When we do come, we can see a difference every time. So let me get off of that, but I just wanted to put that out there to you so you can be praying about it. If you feel led, God gives you some money and you want to put it toward the trip, you want to put it toward the building, then do that. And so, and be in prayer for Michael and Amanda that the Lord will just bless them for all that they've done for us here. And it's a great work. And we know we did it for years at our house. And so it is it's a task. Now, Brother Michael's been up all night working. And so he's fixing to be changing jobs here coming up soon. And so he'll be very available sometime and not available sometime. And so we want to prepare for that and be able to help him in any way that we can. And so also I'm planning after the service next week, next Sunday afternoon, we're going to be leaving for a few days. We're going to go by the coast and visit with our children who are going to be at the coast. Then we're going to Florida on Friday, Saturday for a 50-year graduation reunion. So that's how old I am. I graduated 50 years ago. And so that's amazing. That's amazing. And I've never went to one of the reunions ever. And they're pretty sure this is going to be the last one. Some of the class, a number of the people already died. And so they're not expecting there to be too many around for another one. So I think they did it every 10 years, something like that. But anyways, so we're planning on doing that. Then we're going to get my mom and bring her back home with us. And she's going to spend some time with us here. So I'm going to get three birds with one stone. And so Brother Gomba will be ministering on the 3rd and the 7th. I think those are the dates, yes. So then we're looking for, we're waiting to hear from Brother Gomba on some dates. He's planning to travel as soon as possible. He's working on a ticket and travel plans and that. And then, so we want to be praying for those things, that the finances will come together and he'll be able to. And then also I'm myself, you know, summertime's coming, the children are getting out of school, and I'd like to visit the children there, the family there. And so I want to do that in July, but I won't do it until Brother Goomba gets back, because Brother Michael's starting his new job the 1st of July. And so we're working on those dates, but I'm just throwing it all out there this morning just so you know what's on the board. If you have something you want to share, you're welcome. And we do want to get together sometime and just, especially with the brethren, maybe talk about some of these things out here, if any are available, and we can maybe make a schedule that we can come together. Some of the work on the siding, we need two or three people at the same time. And so, but some of those things, the more you have, the faster it goes. So just put it in prayer and see how the Lord leads you. And that's the thing, is how the Lord leads you. And so there's no pressure, not expecting you to do anything. We want you to do what God wants you to do, and he'll guide you in that. And so that's the thing. And so I told you Brother Michael's work may have to step out to work. Also, I didn't mention, but Sister Emily sometime, she has to work in the afternoon, so she might have to step out before we close. So so you know that those things are there. And so now, I have a message here, and this message, I'm calling it the rapture age. And we've been talking about the rapture for some time, and I wish I would have put it part one, part two like that, so it could stay together, but God knows. Yesterday morning, I got up early, went into my study, and as I always do on Wednesday and Sunday, to plan my day there as much as I can, and my computer wouldn't start. My computer just wouldn't do anything. And I tried and tried and tried in every way to get it to going. And so I talked to Michael, and he gave me some more things to try. And there was no power to it, and it had been plugged up since Wednesday. It's been plugged up, but now Saturday morning it's not starting up. And so when it wouldn't start up, so I was making plans to go to Hickory somewhere, because everything I have in my study is here, right here. It's all right here. And so I don't have a backup. I don't have anything I need to back it up. But everything I have, for somehow, I don't know how, but it's corrupted. I have a 2 terabytes. That's just, you'd never fill that up. I don't think you'd fill that up in your lifetime. 2 terabytes. Backup hard drive. And I tried to do it a couple weeks ago, and even it's corrupted. The keys that I've had over the year, somehow or another, I don't know how it does it. It's there. It's just the devil. I know it's the devil. I remember the first time it ever happened. I was living in that house, and I was sitting there one day, and I was just started on my computer, and all of a sudden I watched, and all of a sudden this thing came up on my screen, and it said extracting files. And it would just, and they were just like boom, 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 boom. I don't know if it was my neighbor. I don't know if it was somebody out there in cyberland. I don't know who it was. But they just took it. And then it built up all my file, everything built up over the years. And then sometime back, it just crashed, got corrupted. And so I just have a very small, compared to what I used to have. But I had, so Saturday, before I was going to Hickory to prepare, to try to get my computer back online, I thought of my iPad. And years ago, I would put some messages on there. About 25 years ago, I would put messages on there. And so I went there, and there was 3 or 4 messages there from way back. I used the iPad for a little while, and I like it for preaching, but not for studying, because the search is better. Everything's better on the computer. It's faster. All your files are there, everything. So I said all of that, to say this. I found a message, the rapture age, that I preached about 20 years ago. And I'm going to preach that message this morning. I preached it before that, but the dates that I'm showing was India, and I think the other one, I think it was in Kenya, but I'm not sure. But anyways, so this is exactly the quote that I used. And so I'm gonna do that this morning. And I've looked at it, and I'm starting off with the same scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And so let's begin reading there. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, Brother Branham told us in Revelation chapter 10 who this mighty angel was. Is that right? He said none other than Christ. He said it couldn't be anybody else but Christ himself. All right? So, but in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we don't need anybody, do we? We don't need anybody. We don't need a prophet. We don't need an interpreter. We don't need any intelligence. This scripture says the Lord himself. Is that right? That's the one. The Lord himself is going to descend. He's going to come from heaven himself. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I'm going to go to the first seal. Some of these I cut really short. And I will say, I put some, at least one scripture or quote, I added back some of the quote because I had cut it in the original message. It was just I was just straight to the point. And so I want you to get the context. But not on this one. The first seal. This is, the seals are opening, and this also made me go back to the breach. If you read the breach, Brother Branham places so many things. He identifies so many things. And I sat down with my seal book Saturday morning and was reading, since this wasn't working, and I just was outlining over thing after thing. When he comes into that message, he is identifying where we're at. And what is happening? What's taking place? He's identifying what has to happen now. Who it is that takes this book. That the Bible says that he takes the book and he breaks the seals. And he identifies it's the book of redemption. Amen. Now, I know these things weren't known, but now we can read plainly in the scripture and see it's right there. The scripture says it. And the prophet just come to identify it, to interpret it, and so, but then once he interprets it, it's obvious. It's so obvious. The things that he said about this book of redemption, and the time of redemption, and the intercessory work, and the judgment, and all of these things that were taking place. And so, then he identifies things that people hadn't thought about for 2,000 years. No, you don't hear, I don't know if there's any theologian, maybe you brothers know, you can tell me. I don't know of any theologian who was looking for this mighty angel, who was looking for this seventh angel, who was looking for those seven thunder mysteries to be spoken. Did it ever occur to you? A lot of people didn't even read Revelation because they couldn't make sense of none of it. And now it makes perfect sense. Now it makes perfect sense. It just, and it goes, ties in right with the whole Bible. The problem is people don't, they don't want it. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to study it. Listen what he says about it. Then there's coming for seven mysterious thunders that's not written at all. They're not written in that Bible. See? At all. That's right. And I believe, now this is the prophet, I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Amen. Now that's what he believes about it. That's what he's saying. This is what I believe. Whatever you believe, that's what you believe. That's okay. See? But what the prophet is saying, he believes that these seven thunders are going to be revealed to get the bride together for what? Rapturing faith. Rapturing faith. See? Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. Huh?
Right.
That's the truth. See? But now this, what this sounds like, a message to gather the bride together, doesn't it? That's what he's saying. Something to gather the bride together. Now let's go into the message. Gabriel's instructions to Daniel. Also just a very small quote here. And this quote, if you listen to it, it sounds very much like what he says in the breach. So only in the breach he said so much more. So paragraph 50. Now in the third chapter, the church has gone up. Now he's talking about Revelations chapter 3. You know that because you read your Bible, you read the message. So in Revelations chapter 1 through 3 is the seven church ages. Is that right? 1 through 3, that's the church ages. At the end, Brother Ben said, on the last verse of the third chapter, the bride goes up. Huh?
Right.
Then, in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, there's an invitation. There's an invitation to come up higher and to see things that are to come. Is that right? The scripture. See? Now, the third chapter, the church has gone up, but now redemption is to be revealed. That's exactly what he said in the breach. See? At the end of the third chapter, the rapture takes place. See? The church ages are over. That's when the rapture takes place. When the church age is in, the rapture takes place. See, that's the reason why as message believers and the message of kingdom and the message, all the message churches around the world, we were in this quandary, or I don't know what to call it, but we were in this place for so many years that we didn't know what to do. Because here was a gift that God dropped on the earth, and he had great gifts, and God vindicated his ministry, and God showed great signs and wonders, and nothing like it had ever come forth on the earth before. No, this was the greatest ministry of the supernatural that had ever been on the earth. Here now, creation was being done. Even Jesus didn't do creation. Huh? He took something and he changed it. He took water and he made it wine. Huh? He took something, he'd take some dirt or something, spit on it and put it on the ice. He was taking something and doing something, making something. He broke the fish. But this gift was greater than ever. And it was vindicated and proven by God. And now, this ministry climaxed at the opening of the seven seals. And at the opening of the seven seals, the prophet is telling us that these seven thunder mysteries that are not written in the Bible, they're going to be revealed. And is the thing that is going to give that quickening power or rapturing faith to the bride. Right?
Amen.
So then he's telling us these things, and he's telling us now the rapture takes place at the end of the seven church ages. And then the seals are revealed, all those things are, and then to about 3 years worth of great messages being revealed. And he's identifying it, the third pool, the opening of the word. The word's now opened and it's being revealed, and it's the spoken word. And the spoken word is, it laces through the written word and proves. It's not just coming up with some revelation that's not related to this. No, it comes Genesis to Revelation, but it is a revelation of the completeness that brings the final understanding of what the whole thing is on whatever subject it is.
Yes,
that's what it is. And so all these great things happening, But then we're hanging there and we're reading the messages and we don't know what to do with it. Because we read in the seal book, he said that these seals couldn't be revealed until the church ages was finished. That's what he said. We couldn't know these things until the church ages. And then he identifies the church ages as the ending of the Gentile dispensation. And he says, now the Gentile dispensation is finished. And he said, as soon as this happens now, then the rapture takes place. And then here we are. We went all these years wondering how to put those things together. Because it wasn't making sense. Because we were still holding on to the idea of what the theologians had taught us about the rapture. That this thing was just, we was going to go up in the air. And the cars were going to wreck, and the trains were going to wreck, and everything else was going to wreck. But somewhere, through those years from 1965, so I'd say to 1977, that thing began opening up. It began opening, and people began to see things they had never seen before. And it was coming right straight out of the message.
Yes, sir.
And I can remember some of the first things that was coming was the understanding of the two souls. That's how that laid there.
Right.
How it laid there, and they didn't know. Paul Jones was one of the first ones to really bring that out. And I can remember us when we first, I mean, I was in my 20s, and that revelation had just was catching on fire, and the churches were stirred down in Florida, and some of them was arguing, and some of them was on fire, and some of them was like, who did it come from? What is it though? You know how that is. They got to check out your life and whether you're qualified. You know, you can imagine what John the Baptist went through. Huh? You can imagine what Jesus went through. Huh? Look at what he's wearing. Are you kidding? He didn't even go to school. See? We still deal with that. We still struggle with that. Huh? But we still look at people and think, he's not worthy. You can be sure. I'm not worthy. I know I'm not worthy. No. I don't have the ability. Sometimes when I sit down, sometimes when I'm in my study, you just don't know how unworthy I feel. And you don't, this, when I be, God gives you a glimpse here and there of little things, and you look at this and say, this is too big for me. This revelation is too big for me. I don't know what to do. And the only thing I can do is what he's allowed me to do is take just one little tiny piece. There's that little tiny piece.
Yes, sir.
And say whatever I can say about it. That's it. This thing is so great, God will be revealing it throughout eternity.
Amen.
That's how great it is.
Yes, sir.
God won't run out. No.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Now in the third chapter, the church has gone up. Last verse. Third chapter, Revelation. Now, redemption's to be revealed. Is that right? That's what begins to be revealed. The bride's caught up into Christ, and now the revelation begins to come forth. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, John was caught up in the Spirit. Is that what the Bible says? John was caught up in the Spirit. And John was seeing these things. He's seeing over in the Lord's day. He's seeing these revelations. But now when he gets past all the church ages, he's seen all the church ages, seen everything that was done. Now the church ages come to an end. And in the fourth chapter, there's a voice speaks again from heaven and says, come up higher.
Yes, sir.
That was all great. That was all wonderful.
Yep.
But now you got to come up higher.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And I'm going to show you more things. More things. Now you're going to see what those seven thunders are. Now you're going to see what the judgment is. Now you're going to see what the book of redemption really was. Now you're going to see all these great revelations. But you got to come up higher. You can't stay down there. You can't stay in that seventh church age. No. You've got to come out of that seventh church age and you got to come into Christ.
That's right.
This thing is really a lot of the things that we're saying is really what people believed, at least in part. Rather they believe it in the context of the message, this is what they believed. Because when they were going to fly up in the air and go into heaven, that's where you were going, right? You were going to heaven. You were going to rapture up into the air and be with Christ, right? That's what the rapture is. It's you and Christ becoming one. Right? It's you and Christ becoming one. And then you're going to be with Him forever. That's the promise. That's what they believe. That's what we believe. It's just a little bit different on the details. That we've already now are caught up in heavenly places in Christ, according to the Bible, just like Paul and his people were, according to the Bible. Oh, if they would just believe the Bible. That's, you know, people argue with them. If they would just believe the Bible, they would be right here.
Yes, sir.
They'd be right here in this revelation. They'd be right here in this understanding. See? Now the church was, how the church was redeemed, the revelation of what taking place during the church ages, is that what he did? That was when the seals, the first four horse riders, the first four seals opened up and told everything that happened the last 2,000 years. Revealed the whole thing. What Paul was trying to tell them, but what, when Paul was telling it to them, it was in a mystery. He said, he told them, he said, now the Lord's not coming. The Lord's not coming until first the man of sin be revealed and there be a falling away. Huh? That falling away was going on and on and on and on and on right into the dark ages.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Think about that.
Amen.
He was prophesying of it, and now God comes down and reveals that whole thing. And we can look back and identify perfectly with the history, perfectly with the scripture, perfectly with the messengers of those ages, perfectly coming to pass.
Yes.
See, the church is gone. So he is now showing in the fifth chapter how he did it. Huh? Once the church ages are finished, then he's showing how he did it. That's fine. But the catch is, the bride's already raptured.
Amen. Yep.
Yep. So that's why people struggle with the prophet. Because he's making these statements. Okay? And the only way we can understand them is if God reveals to us that it's the truth.
Right.
And if God don't reveal to us the truth, then we're out there wherever we were. We're going to always be out there. Just like any other denomination, we're going to hold on to that idea. And I'm not criticizing anybody who's planning on, you know, leaving the driver's seat one day and going up in there and their car wrecking. I'm not condemning that. I'm not fussing with that. I'm not mocking that. I'm not making fun of that. I mean, if that's as far as you are, at least you're that far. At least you're that far. Some people don't even believe in God. Some people don't even have any moral life. See? But if you can get there, hopefully you got a little moral life to go with it. And so you've come up a little bit. That's better than nothing. But in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, there was an invitation. And that invitation was, come up higher. What John had in Revelations 1, now in verse 4, chapter 4, now the bride is getting an invitation. John was a type of the bride. Okay, so let's just read Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. And after this, after what? After the church ages. After the first three chapters, after the church ages, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. And I like that. There's no telling how many times in Revelations, maybe other places in the Bible too, that it says that a voice as many waters, a voice as a great thunder, a voice as a trumpet. All these different identifications of this voice. And that, see, as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now that's the invitation. That's the word. That's where it began. The ending of the church ages was the beginning of the revealing of these things. So Gabriel's instructions. Now, in the fourth chapter, John was caught up immediately after the church. John going up, he saw the complete church age. That's where I'd like to stop just a second to say that many peoples who are expecting some great, tremendous, powerful something to happen in the Gentile age are certainly wrong. Wow. This reminds me of Brother Branham talking about the bride hadn't had a revival yet in the fourth seal. So the bride hadn't had a revival yet. After all the supernatural, after all the raising of the dead, after all the spiritual food that was coming up in the seventh church age, and there was food, because that was his commission, store up food, store up food. And he talked about those messages. The greatest battle ever fought, the bride tree, talked about those things. He said all of those things was God. He had had an opportunity to go across the sea for a meeting or two or something. He said, "Nah, I ain't going to do that." He said, "That's not worth that." So he come back did, and he stored up food. And that's what God wanted him to do. That had to fulfill the prophecy for the teaching rain. That's right. The former rain. That was fulfilling the prophecy. See, after the church, John going up, he saw the complete church. That's where I'd like to stop. Many people are expecting some great, tremendous power for something to happen in the Gentile age are certainly wrong. The church age and all that will happen during the Gentile reign is recorded from Revelations chapter 1 to Revelations chapter 3. Now, as a young Christian, this was really deep. This was really hard to wrap your head around. Because we were in chapter 4 and chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8. 6 through 8, the seals was being revealed. Chapter 5, he was taking the book and revealing redemption. Chapter 10, we had the seventh angel. Huh? All of these things. And he's saying the rapture's already. That's what he was saying. And he's saying all of this afterwards, and then he'll even say somewhere, I don't have it with me, but he says that all, then from there, then it goes to the Jews. Is that right? You know the quotes. You know the quotes. Oh, wait, no, he is going to say it here. I'm sorry. All right. So, the church age and all that will happen during the Gentile reign is recorded from Revelations 1 to Revelation 3 inclusive. Then the church was raptured and taken up. And the rest of this until the 19th chapter is what happens to the Jewish race after the church has gone up. Now, these are powerful words now. And this is, you know, I can understand right here on these things. I can understand while people have a hard time believing the message, okay? And you can't until God reveals to you, vindicates to you that that messenger was vindicated by God, was a prophet of God, was the voice of God, amen, and that he was the manifested word of God to the age that we live in now. That's right. He was the one that the Bible said would come and reveal those things. See? Then the church was raptured and taken up, and the rest of this until the 19th chapter is what happens to the Jewish race after the church is gone. And what is that? How can that be when it's talking about the church, Rome, and all of those things? Huh? It's judgment. It's judgment. See? And it is the time of great tribulation, nothing to happen amongst the Gentiles, only the slaughtering so forth. You want to get that slaughtering? Get over there in the fourth seal. Get over there in the Battle of Armageddon. Yes. As we'll get to that and see, but the church itself is gone on the last verse of the third chapter of Revelations when the Laodicean church age ends, see, which was the last. Now, I want to remind you that this isn't easy to preach today. 20, 25 years ago, this was even harder to preach. But the quotes are just like they were then. I didn't change. I didn't add no quotes. I didn't take no quotes out. This is the quotes. Amen. Same thing.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, you're never going to put it all on the board, jot it up. This starts here, and this ends here, and this ends here. You're not going to do it.
Right.
He said it won't work. There's too much happening at the same time. And that's one of the quotes that helped me so much, because that's what I was trying to get in my mind. This starts, or this stops, this starts, this stops, this starts, this stops, this starts. He said, you can't get it like, there's too much lap over. There's a lap over. There are some very defining moments in the scripture. There's no doubt about that.
That's right.
And one is Calvary. At Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That ended it right there. That ended it. In this day, the seals was broke open. This mighty angel came down from heaven. And the seventh angel was standing on the earth when that mighty angel came down. There was a connection there. There was a union there. And when that took place, the word began to be opened. But it was opened in a way that it still can be confusing to people. Because he made it clear that the opening of the seals closes the New Testament. Is that right? The message, he that is in you, closes the New Testament. Just like 2,000 years ago, the Old Testament was closed. What does that mean? It means it had all been revealed. The Old Testament was being revealed, the New Testament being revealed. He said it closes it, and he said it seals it. Well, we were under this unfolding of it just being unsealed, right? That's what the seals were, right? The seals was the unsealing, the opening it up. And then the prophet turns right around and says, that closes it and seals it. That throws people away. It just means it's complete.
Right.
It's been revealed.
Yes, sir.
And now we're in another phase.
Right.
And another phase is the revealing of the seven thunder mysteries.
Right.
And those are the mysteries that are hidden in the message from the seals on. Those things are healed in it. He spoke them. He told us what they were. It's been revealed. But it wasn't written plainly in that Bible. It's between the lines.
Yes, sir.
The revelation's always between the lines. That's how God speaks. That's how he spoke in every age to every prophet. He was revealing what was between the lines.
Amen.
It's a love letter. And it's to the elected. It's to the predestinated.
Right.
So what did he say in Revelation 4? Come up higher. Huh? A door. A door was open. And his invitation, come up. Come up higher. That's what God wants. God's talking to you. This is an individual invitation to you. God wants to have relationship with you. God wants you to come up higher, deeper into the Spirit of God. And be one with him. Now, in the rapture message, this 25, 30 years ago, this was something that just kind of blew me away. This is the scripture that Brother Branham used to preach the rapture. And he had been working on this rapture for some time now. And he He had not preached it a couple of places. He said, I didn't have the voice for it. He said, my voice was gone. I couldn't. He said, this is going to take something. And then this place he preached it actually was in Yuma, and he didn't have a lot of, I don't think he had enough time, because I think he was only about 50 paragraphs in, and he was talking about he was going to have to close soon. And so I think they were in a place where he couldn't stay long. But anyways, who would have thought that you would go to the book of Psalms to get your scripture to preach the rapture? Let's read it. Psalms chapter 27. Paragraph 10. I want to speak on the subject, the rapture. All Christians believe that, huh? That's Bible readers believe that there will be a rapture. Every one of us here today believes there will be a rapture. Every one of us. Now, you might have different details in your mind, but everyone believes there will be a rapture. Every denomination believes there will be a rapture. They might have different ways and different things, but they all believe it. Okay? Psalms, verse 1 through 5. 27, 1 through 5. The Lord is my light and my salvation. In whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though the host should encamp about me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Now here's what I want you to really get. Listen to this so close. This is his scripture for the rapture. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Huh? This is the one thing that every one of us should desire and every one of us should seek after. Listen to this. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, I want you to think about the message, God's provided place of worship. I want you to think of the message, spiritual food in due season. I want you to think of that secret place that he was talking about, that he was inviting us into, in himself. He's the Word. He's the Spirit. He's the Word. He's God. He's the Eternal. He was inviting us into that. When he was talking about spiritual food in due season, when he said God's only provided place of worship. There's only one place. There's only one place that he puts his name. Amen. That's in his Word. And it's the Word for the age in which you live in. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Listen, here we go, okay? He said one thing. Now all of this is going to come in under that one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to require in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. Now, I want to read, did I put it there? Yes. Okay. We're going to read again just the highlights, just the points, right? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after. If we are born by the Word, this is us. This is us. This is in us. This desire, this nature is in us wanting out. This is why David was the apple of God's eye. This is why David was a man after God's own heart. Not because of his faults, not because of his bad decisions, not because he killed a man or he slept with a woman that wasn't his. No, not because of that. But because of this. Because of this desire that was in him to worship God, to know God in the power of his resurrection. See, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to require in his temple. Huh? Hide me in the pavilion. What is that? It's a shelter. Hide me in him. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hide me in him. See? In the secret of his tabernacle. That's what he was talking about in spiritual food. Huh? It's that secret place where Elijah was. That secret place that God fed him and took care of him. That's where we are in this message. We're in a secret place. We're walking in the presence of God. We're living in another atmosphere. We're living in another dimension. What we have is heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't take it lightly. No. Paul told his people, you have been translated. You've been translated. Not the world, not the denominations, not those Jews back there under the law. No, that was dead. All of that which was the Word of God for thousands of years, all of a sudden it was finished. It was fulfilled. And now God opened up a new door. Now God gave another invitation. Now God gave a revelation. Done it again today. See, the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And what's a rock? It's revelation. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, when I preached this 20-something years ago, this word require here was a big thing for me. Because I'm not good at English. And so I thought it should have been inquire. Which you're going to find out in a minute. But let me just say it this way, because this is how I said it. Require. The difference of inquire, you inquire something when you want to know about it. You're interested in it, okay? You might be curious. Whatever reason, you're inquiring about it. But to require, that means you got to have it. Amen. Require means that you need it. That's the difference. That's where David was. David required it. The predestinated seed requires it.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
So, I put that in here, and now... So this scripture here that uses this word require, Psalms 27, 1 through 5. This scripture is straight out of the rapture message. Straight out of the rapture message. So as I was studying now in presence, I got in the message in the search, and the word didn't come up require. It came up inquire. And there's two different ways to spell it. It's one with the I, one with the E. And one, the E is basically for questions, and the other one is how you use it 99% of the rest of the time. So, it wasn't in the search engine. So, I went and got my Bible. It wasn't in my Bible. So, I went and got about five more Bibles. I probably checked seven different Bibles. I got many different versions, and I got Knaves, and I got Unger's, the study Bible. I got that stuff. So every single one of them was in choir. And I was like, what in the world? How could this be? And so I went back to the message. So then I went to the rapture message. And that's where he said it, is in the rapture message. The Bible is in choir. And I thought, brother, nobody ever said a word. I preached that. I preached, and you know what? That was kind of a highlight to me, that it wasn't inquire, it was a require. And I really stressed it. And so God had him say it for a reason.
Yes, sir.
And his require is more fitting. But it looks like to me that quite possibly the prophet just said that as a slip. I don't know. I don't know. Every Bible that I looked at said inquire. So,
amen.
So I'm just leaving it there. I'm just leaving it there.
That's right.
As Brother Gumba said the other night, he said, I can be wrong. I can be wrong. We can all be wrong. We can all misunderstand something, and especially with language, you people all the time. As Brother Gumbo was talking about culture, and I don't even want to get on it, but it's different. It's just different.
Yes, sir.
You can look at something, you can go to another country and see something, and you think it's just ridiculous. Yeah. And back and forth. And that person could go to your country and look and think, this is just ridiculous. And so, I've tried to be very careful about it, and I try to be very careful about it now. Because God placed every one of us in our country, that country.
Yes,
and He brought us up in that culture. And the only thing I can say, when I first went to India, and this was where I started at as a young man. I was in my 20s. I started as a young man in India. And I didn't have much. We didn't know nothing about the thunders. We just knew it was words. It was just words. But we knew marriage and divorce. And boy, that didn't go over well. On polygamy, those things, that didn't go over well. We had serpent seed. We had two souls. And literally, there was about a dozen things that were mostly revealed in the seventh church age. That was pretty much it. These deeper things had not come out. And so that was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. And so, but even, and there, people would tell me, when I'd preach marriage and divorce, they'd say, you know, you get those theologians, and there's some smart guys there. Our divorce rate is lower than your divorce rate in America. And I said, listen, brother, I'm not here preaching to you the American way. I'm preaching to you, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. When Brother the Goomba comes here, he's not trying to preach Kenya's way. He's preaching, thus saith the Lord. When I go there, I'm preaching, thus saith the Lord. What we're striving for is what God has said. That's where we are. We're not concerned about the way you do it or the way you don't do it. We don't have dowry here. They got it in India, and you pay for the man. You got it in Kenya, you pay for the woman. And every one of them can argue they're right. So those things don't mean anything.
Right.
They don't mean anything to me. It doesn't. That's not going to draw you closer to God.
Yeah.
What's going to draw you closer is the revelation.
Yes, sir.
Of those seven thunder mysteries.
Yes, sir.
That's the thing that the prophet was inviting us into.
Yes.
That's the thing that the scripture invites us into.
Yes, sir.
Now watch. This is in Rapture, paragraph 11. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Now today, speaking on the subject, and some of you may differ the avenues that I take, but how many in here believes the Bible teaches that there will be a rapture of the church? Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. A catching away. Huh? A catching away of the church. Whether you're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whoever you are, Pentecostal, there will be a catching away. Is that right? Yes. And I think that in speaking now, I don't try to get up and just say something I think would please the people. I've never been guilty of that. I want to get up here and say something as I feel led to say it, that I think would be a help to you, something that would further your experience with God. If you're a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, make you so ashamed of yourself that you will become a Christian. That's the purpose that I've always tried to line up my thoughts as the Lord would lead me. See? Now, but to the church, the bride, The rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, he's going to continue on repeating these same words. And this, to me, is, you ever seen somebody that they're trying to talk to somebody in front of somebody and they don't want that person to know what they're trying to say? So you're just kind of saying it in a roundabout way. So this person is picking, you're smiling, you know, you've done it. Yeah. So this is what it sounds like he's doing. He's trying to get us into another mindset. He's trying to get us to look at this different, because we all know that faith is a revelation, right? He taught us that way back in the seventh age. And now here he is at the end of the bride age, and he's just repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. And he had been doing so in about four or five messages, starting with anointing ones at the end time. And he really was laying into this thing. See? Now, verse 28. Now, it is a revelation. For the revelation is faith. And you cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation. Is he repeating himself now? Three or four times now? You wonder, why does he keep repeating himself? Remember why he's striving to nail down that faith is a revelation. Right. That faith is a revelation. Mm-hmm. Because the rapture is a revelation. Yes. Yes. That's the piece he wants you to bring into this. Amen. You know faith is a revelation. Right. But he's repeating it over and over and over because he's already told you the rapture is a revelation. Amen. And he wants you to be sure now and take this rapturing faith. Get this revelation of the rapture. Right. What is the rapture? See, it's something revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's revealed to you like it was to Abraham. That could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Huh? Anything in the past. All of his life, he'd been taught you can, you know, a woman can't have a baby, then it's over. You get to a certain age, you can't have children. It's done. So there they were. She'd never had children. Now they're too old to have children. But now he's got a new revelation. And this new revelation is contrary to that revelation. That revelation he was raised with, he'd been taught all of his life. You're never going to have children. There came a time that he realized, we're never going to have children. And then God come down and said, you're going to have children. And they struggled with it. He laughed about it. Sarah laughed about it. Sarah tried to get him another woman and make it happen. God said, no, she's going to have it. It was a revelation then. It became reality to them. And they went 25 years in that revelation. That's where the bride is today. She's been walking in this revelation. She's been caught away. She's been caught up into Christ. Yes, sir. In the revelation. Amen. She knows Him. Nope. And she's the only people on the earth that know Him.
Yes, sir.
If you aren't born again by the Word of God, according to the Bible, you don't know Him.
Amen.
You can quote every scripture in this Bible. You can quote what that prophet said.
Yes.
But if you haven't been born again, you don't know Him.
Amen. That's right.
See? Now faith, that's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation. See? The whole entire body. Praise be to God. Huh? What did he say about Luther, Wesley? Huh? They were part of the rapture. They were making up that part of the body. It was a body.
Right.
That's right. And he was catching up part of the body in every age. How was he doing it? By revelation.
Right.
He revealed to Luther. And those Lutherans, those people that believed Luther's message, they were caught up in that revelation. They came out of the Catholic Church. Huh? You just hit me that the same thing happened in those ages that Brother Branham is saying happened today. He called a church out of a church. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Luther was in there. Those people were in there. And he called them out of it. And he called them into the revelation. And Wesley Day, he called them out.
Yes.
Called them up higher. Pentecost.
Right.
Huh? All the rest of them had already denominated. The Lutherans had denominated. The Wesleyans had denominated. All of it.
Right.
And here comes Pentecost. Huh? God pours out the gifts. Oh my, what a time. What a powerful time it was. Well, it's part of the body. Part of the body was being revealed, was being made manifest. Paragraph 33, the rapture. Now the rapture is only this rapture. This rapture we're talking about is only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. This great rapture, if there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? Huh? He's not trying to talk people out of it. He's telling them there's a rapture. There's a rapture, and only is the bride going to be in it. And it's promised for this day. See? Where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? What promise do we have? There's going to be a rapture, see? The Bible says there will be, and it'll only be for the elected. Now, let's read it again, a line at a time. All right? Yes. Now, the rapture is only this rapture that we're talking about. What rapture are we talking about? We're not talking about the one the theologians have concocted. They're not talking about that one. We're not talking about the one where the train driver comes out of the train and the train keeps going. And the truck driver comes out of the truck and the truck keeps going. No, not talking about that rapture. We're talking about this rapture. Said this rapture that we're talking about, see? He said, if there's not a rapture, friends, oh, he said it's only for the bride. If there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? Now that's a good question for the message people. Huh? If this is not the rapture, if we're not in the rapture age, where are we at?
Amen.
That's a question. That's a fair question. If the church ages have ended, and most of the message people are coming to that now, because there's been so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of quotes from the prophet that they can no longer deny, that absolutely pins their ideas to the wall.
Yes, sir.
And they can no longer take it. They are having to say, yes, the church ages are over, but, well, that's what goats do.
Yep.
They butt.
Yep.
That's right. Sheep don't butt.
That's right.
No, sheep don't butt. Sheep are made to follow. That's what they do. So, where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? Huh? What promise do we have? All of those things, put them together. Answer those questions in your heart. Where are we? What age are we in? There's no doubt that something happened and the people missed it. Just like they missed Christ. Just like they missed Calvary. Just like they missed John the Baptist.
Amen.
They said, Lord, why did the scripture say Elias is going to come? He said he's already come. This is what's wrong with people. This is what's wrong with people. It's already happened and you didn't know it. And most of the time, people didn't want to know it. Somebody was trying to tell them. And they're like, no, I'm a Baptist. No, I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Methodist. No, I got my own ideas. You believe whatever. I got my ideas about it. Yeah. Well, your Creator went to all of the trouble to raise up a man to guide you to the Messiah. That's what He did. Your Creator did. The God of heavens and earth, He brought this man, and he had a hard life. He lived a hard life. Think about it. 9 years old into the wilderness. 9 years old. Look at your children. Think what he went through. And then he come out at what? 30 years old? Somewhere? Somewhere in there? About the same time as Christ? And he come out preaching. And what a message that he preached. And everybody loved him. Did they? No. Who loved him? It was all the oddballs. It was all the oddballs. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't want to be an oddball, you don't want God. Because you're going to be one.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Yep. You're going to be one. Oh, listen to this. The Bible says there will be, and it'll only be for the elected lady, the bride in this day, that's pulled out. What's she pulled out of? What's she pulled out? Huh? See? Pulled out, the church. The very word church means called out of. Where did we get the word church? Called out of. Because that's what it is. She's called out. Yeah. Moses was called out. The children of Israel called out of Egypt.
Amen.
That's right. They descended from Egypt. Huh? Yeah, they left there. They got out of there. As Moses called a nation out of a nation. Huh? The Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. That's right. See? A church out of a church, members of every denomination making up a bride. Praise be to God.
Amen.
What did Brother Branham say in the It's the Rising of the Sun? He said, we are resurrected out of dark denominationalism.
Yes, sir.
What is denominationalism? It's death.
Right.
What is resurrection? It's life.
Amen.
It's being quickened to life, coming out from among the dead.
Yes.
That's the dead.
Yeah,
they're spiritually dead. And he said the same, third Exodus. It's a spiritual Exodus. Coming out. It's a coming out. It's a catching away. Paragraph 105. And then we find here that Enoch was the seventh from Noah, which was the type of the church ages. How are we doing on time? We're getting low on time here. We've got a long ways to go. Now, all of the rest of the six men before him died. But Enoch was translated. Enoch was raptured, the seventh, showing that it's the seventh church age that takes the rapture. Now, there's no doubt we're in the seventh church age. We all know it. Now, it's the seventh church age that takes the rapture. All of the other six died. Huh? Yeah. But Enoch was translated because he was not found. God took him. But Enoch raptured was a type of all the rest of them dying. See? But the end time bride, now some of that he may be mixing a little bit, but he's all the other six church ages were that type. The seventh takes the rapture. That's what he's saying. Enoch took the rapture. What did he say? The genealogy, he's the seventh from Adam. So the other six died, right?
Yes.
The seventh raptured.
Right.
That's what he's saying. Now listen. But the end time bride will be called out of the seventh church age. Right? The end time bride will be called out of the seventh church age. Now you know there was more in there, right? Yeah. And that description that he gives is identifying. It's identifying the rapturing. It's identifying the catching away. That's what it's doing. Let's read it. But the end time bride will be called out of the rapturing without death. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing what he's saying? The rapturing without death will be called out of the seventh church age. They're being called out. A church out of a church. Like a nation out of a nation. Huh? Which we are now bearing record of that age. Oh my, let's dig in now real deep, see? Let's dig in. Huh? The end time bride will be called out, the rapturing without death. This is it. It's actually life. It's the quickening power revealing to you that that's death and it's calling you into the presence of God. That's what it's doing. That's what it always does. That's what it did back there in Paul's day.
Yes, sir.
You know, that I thank God for the letter he wrote to Colossians. Because that, for me, was one of the scriptures that was so powerful when I was feeling like, you know, this is so hard to get across to people. And for them to, you know, it's like, okay, I'm believing it, but sometimes you feel like nobody can believe these things. You know, it's so hard. It's so hard. And then when I found that scripture in Colossians, and Paul told those people, said, you have been translated. Huh? It's just like he told them, it was Colossians 2, wasn't it? He said, ye are dead. He's talking to the group, and he's saying, you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Yeah, that's right. They were breathing. They were saying amen.
Yep.
They were listening.
That's right.
And he's telling them they've been translated. Huh? That they were sitting in heavenly places right now. He didn't tell them they're going to be. He didn't say one day you're going to be raptured and sit in heavenly. Saying you've been translated right now. And you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Buddy, that was good for a preacher. You know, that was just like putting a razor edge on your sword. Yeah. And they come to you and just, oh, let me just get my sword out here.
Right.
Fixing to cut that surplus off.
Amen.
Yeah. You think? Everybody's spiritual until it comes to their day.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody can read the Bible and say, yeah, that was spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. Those people were receiving the Word of God. Great things is happening. And then come down today and somebody tell you, we've been translated into the presence of God. Yeah. You can't believe it. You can't know it until you've been born again. But if you're willing to come, there's a door open. There's a door open in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavenly places. And it's the presence of God. And he's the Word. And if you'll take and walk into that Word and walk into the presence of God and let him slay that old nature, let that quickening power come upon that seed of God, you will see eternal life living in flesh, in your flesh. When you look in the mirror in the morning, you'll say, you know, at one time I just couldn't imagine these things. They were too much for me. But now I know they're the truth. Now I know that this is thus saith the Lord. Now I know. See, the end time bride will be called out. The rapturing without death will be called out of the seventh church age. Praise be to God. Now, in the message, the third Exodus, 2:51. So that's the way it is again today. God is calling his elected people. And they are elected now. And now they're elected for what? For a resurrection. And what kind of sign is he showing them? A resurrection sign. That's life, right? That's quickening. That's quickening power, right? See? And now he's showing them the power of the resurrection of his son living among them, right? That's what happened with Jesus. He was living among them. They seen the resurrection. They seen the life. Today, we seen that same life, that same manifestation come in the messenger of the age. And then It was manifested, and then that messenger of the age, he didn't say, oh, this is for me, come follow me. He said, no. He said, this is for you. You can do the same thing. You can do the same thing I'm doing. Everything you've seen, you can do it. It's yours. The promise. I got this. He showed us the scripture. He took us to Joel 2:28. He took us to John 14. Huh? He took us to those scriptures and he showed us that this is for you. You can do it. All you had to do is believe it. Just believe it. It's yours. See? And now showing the power of the resurrection of his son living among you to resurrect them from this grave. What grave? Huh? This dying earth. This grave. Huh? This grave and graveyard. Huh? These denominations that we've been living in. Huh? We've been resurrected from this grave. And graveyard that we're in to a land. Praise be to God. What did he do with the children of Israel? He brought them out into a new land. What did Jesus do? He brought them to a new land. What did the opening of the seals do? Brought us to a new land, a new message. That's right.
Amen.
What is the message? It's the Word. What is God? He's the Word. Let's read it again. To resurrect them from this grave and graveyard that we're in to the land. That's promised to us, resurrection sign, calling out of spiritual Egypt and spiritual Babylon. Praise be to God. That's what we came out of. We come out of the seventh church age. We come out of denominations. We come out all theology, all traditions, all of our everything. No matter which country we're from, we come out.
Amen.
And we come into the presence of God. All of our culture don't mean nothing. It's only one thing. That's the Word of God living in us.
That's right.
That's what He wants. That's what He will have.
Amen.
Calling out of spiritual Egypt and spiritual Babylon, knowing. Yes. Knowing what? Having the revelation. Having the revelations. Now, let me say this quietly now. Now, he wants to tell us something because he's been trying to tell us something. He's saying something up there that we are living, we're in this grave, resurrect us from this grave and this graveyard and go to a land. And talking about this resurrection and talking about all these things. And now he says, let me say this quietly so that you will get it. And let me scream and holler and shout and you miss it. Let me say it quietly that you'll catch it. Doing it by the same system that he did at the beginning. The same thing he's doing. Present tense. The same thing he did back there. How far back there? Far back as you want to go. You want to stop in Luther's day? You want to stop in Jesus' day? You want to stop in Isaiah's day? You want to go back to Cain and Abel? It's the same. One got the revelation and the other one didn't. One was blinded and the other one was enlightened.
Right.
Huh? One was quickened.
Yes, sir.
That's right. See? Same he did at the beginning. Same thing he's doing. Blinding the eyes of the unbeliever and open the eyes of the believer. That's what he's doing today. That's what this message is all about.
Right.
He's bringing the message in. Those seven thunders will bring rapturing faith. That's what he told us. He said, that's what I believe. Well, I'm a son of the prophet. And you're sons and daughters of the prophet.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. So what he believes, we believe.
Right.
He believed those seven thunders will give rapturing faith. And it will gather the bride together. Who? Who is he gathering them to? To me?
No.
To you?
No.
To this wonderful place?
So.
If you had the biggest cathedral in the world, it wouldn't be enough. No. No, no, no. There's only one place, one provided place of worship. That's in the Word. That's in Christ. He's the Word. Oh, if we can get that. If we can just get that. He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word is God. Okay. Now remember, the rapture is a revelation. Right? Is that right? The rapture is a revelation. Okay, paragraph 50. Now the word rapture in the Bible is not even used at all. We just put that word in there. Oh, how about that? Huh? How did it get in there? How did that word rapture get in the Bible? So why are people so upset when you're trying to show them the spiritual understanding of what the rapture really is? Why are they so upset when that word's not even in the Bible? Huh? Check and see. Check and be sure. Huh? Check and be sure. I was so sure that require was in there. It wasn't in there. No, it was inquire. But I like require better. But that's not what it said. But the prophet said it, so I might can get by. So I feel pretty good about it because it fits so well. And he did say it, so as you can see, I didn't take it out. So the Bible said, let's say what the Bible says, right? The Bible said, caught up. Caught up. That's what the Bible says. Caught up. Now that is just a little bit more flexible than rapture. Because you can be caught up in a crowd. You can be caught up in traffic. You can be caught up in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You ever go to a ball game and people get so carried away? They're screaming and shouting and, you know, and now there was a time you could just scream right with them. Then after a while you become a Christian and you're like, this is a little bit much for me. And you feel a little bit distanced because you have a different nature now. And it's like when you get around worldly music, you know, sometimes you find yourself. But there's something inside saying, don't go too far. This is the devil's playground. Yeah. Yeah, you can get caught up in it. You can get caught right up in it. You can get caught up in the lie. That's why for some people, they need that big cathedral. They need that big church. They need this and they need that. And when they go there, they get caught up in that. You need to get caught up in this.
Amen.
Get caught up in this right here.
Yes, sir.
This is it. This is Him.
That's right.
In print. Yeah, that's God in print. The word rapture in the Bible, it's not even used at all. It's just put, we just put the word there. The Bible said caught up, being caught up. That's right. Notice the word says in 2 Thessalonians, there's three things, right? So from the 13th to the 16th verse, there's three things that has to happen before the Lord Himself appears, right? So now He's using the word appear, and so that's okay. And He tells us this is coming. And so other places. So, but this is okay. Appears. Because that's what we want. We want to see Him. We want to see Him, right? And so, the first thing happened. Notice a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Let's read it now and see if that's right. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. See? Now, three things happen. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. See? Now a shout. Jesus does all three of them as He's descending. Huh? And a shout, what is a shout? It's a message. Going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. And now, God has a way of doing things and he never changes his policy. That's right. So he said it's a message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now, didn't Jesus say in John chapter 6 over and over, I am the bread. I'm the bread that came down. I came down from heaven. Is that what he taught? This word descend in Thessalonians is the same word as come down. It's the same. How did he come down? How did Jesus come down? He was born. How did he get done? He died. The River Jordan, the Spirit came down on him. After the resurrection, he was caught up. He's descending. I want you to hold on to that word because this is where we're going to get this. We're going to go a few more minutes because this word, descending. Okay? Descending. And I pulled a lot of quotes. I thought I might just bring a message on some of them or put them into another message. But this word, it has a compound meaning. It's not just all literal descending. No. In the rapture message, paragraph 55, the first thing come when he starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. See? Declaring that God has come. And we read some of that. The promise is that the Lord himself will come, right? There's a difference. And it made me think, because Brother Goom and I was talking the other night after the message, and I was studying this morning, and it took my mind back, because there was a time some years ago where there was a brother that was teaching that the bride age was back in the church ages. It was the seventh age was the bride age. And I said, well, brother, he never mentioned it until 1965. Then he only said it about six times. So that's, you're going to have a hard time coming with that idea. And so then I was preaching for Brother Joshua sometime several years ago, and I was reading, talking about angels and about different kinds of angels and about the different manifestations, about the different things. And I come across a quote, and I didn't go back and refresh myself on it, so I'm paraphrasing here the best that I can. But a brother came to Brother Branham, and he said, Brother Branham, You go to the pulpit and you're waiting on the angel to come. And he said, you keep calling it the angel of the Lord. And he said, brother, he said, you're wrong. He said, that's God himself. And Brother Branham said, no. He said, that's not. He said, it's not. He said, that is the angel of the Lord. He said, God himself is a person and has a presence. But he said, that's it. And he didn't even know. I don't know if he ever got the name of that angel that came to him hundreds, maybe thousands of times. Huh? No, never. Never did. Never did know the name. But he knew him by voice. He knew his steps. Said he would hear him when he was walking into the room. He'd hear him walking. He would hear the swish of his robe.
He knew his presence.
He knew his presence. He could feel him. He knew that presence. And he knew that voice. And so that was a great thing. And so that there was a time when he came. There was a time. And the promise was that he would come. And he did come. See, what is it now? It's a message to get the people together. A message comes forth first now. So I'm trying to finish now. Just give me a couple minutes here. See, now it's lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. Watch. What was that? The seventh. Not the sixth. The seventh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. See? Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. And some of them found they didn't have any oil in their lamp. See? But it's lamp trimming time. It's Malachi 4 time. It's Luke 17. It's Isaiah. It's all those prophecies, see, that can perfectly set an order for this day in the scriptures. We see it living right there. That's right. See these things happen. My dear brother, sister, when God in heaven knows, and I could die on this platform right now, you ought to just walk around, see, it's tremendous. It's tremendous when you see God come from the heaven and stand before groups of men and stand there and declare himself just as he ever did. Now, what did he just, scripture did he read in Thessalonians? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Is that right? And he's telling us that's the rapture. Is that right? Is Thessalonians the rapture? It is the rapture, isn't it? It is the rapture. It is the catching away. And he's saying now he's telling us, he's read the scriptures, he's told us what it is, he's identified it, and now he's telling you. It's tremendous when you can see it. When that revelation, and it is a revelation because faith is a revelation.
Yes, sir.
He said, when it's revealed to you that you can see God come down and stand before the people. Huh? That's what he's saying.
That's right.
Put it together. It goes together. All of that, all that we read so far, it all goes together.
Amen.
It's tremendous when you see God come down from heaven. How do you come down? You descend.
Yes, sir.
You descend. And I think it's somewhere over in Romans. I don't remember it. But he's talking about to who is it that can descend down into the earth to find him? Huh? Who is it that can ascend up into the heavens to find him? To see him?
Amen.
And then I'm paraphrasing again. He says, lo, he's with you. He's even in your mouth.
Amen.
Why? Because he's the Word. Huh? You're looking up there for him to descend. You're looking down there for him to ascend. You're looking and looking and looking. He said he's right in you.
Amen. That's right.
Glory to God. It's tremendous when you see God come from the heaven and stand before groups of men, stand there and declare himself just as he ever did. That's the truth. This Bible open, that's right. We're here and the denominational system is dead. It's gone. That's right. Praise be to God. That it's dead, it's over, it's finished. He has come. He's manifested himself. He was in that prophet, working the supernatural, revealing the seven thunder mysteries. It was God himself, and it was tremendous when you could see it, when you could recognize what God was doing. And if you're going to see him now, you're going to see him in one another. You're going to have to see him in one another. And if you can't get past my faults, and I can't get past your faults, then we got a problem. We're never going to see him. All you're going to see is Don Johnson and all his problems.
Yep. Yep.
Huh? That's right.
Amen.
Know no man after the flesh. No, know them after the Word.
Yes.
Know them after the life that's living in them, that's manifesting in them.
That's right.
That's the place. That's the thing you want to do. Okay, I'm closing, but I'm having a hard time. God hiding himself in simplicity. Something happened the other day. I wish I'd put more of this in there. Something happened the other day. You heard the tape, the seven thunders. What time is it, sir? See, it happened. It happened the other day. Those seven thunders, yeah, manifesting themselves. What did he say? In Christ, the mystery of God revealed, the end of the second pole, behold, the third pole's at hand. What was it? Healing, taking him by the hand, revealing the secrets of the heart. What was the third? Opening the word. Amen. I can remember as a young Christian, I'll just say me. He talked about all that supernatural. He talked about that short, quick work. He talked about those things. And I said, that's what we're going to do. We're going to raise the dead. We're going to walk through that wall. We're going to do these supernatural things. We're going to lay hands on the sick. Anybody we touch is going to get healed. It's going to be the most powerful, the most greatest ministry that's ever been. God ain't never operated like that. God sends a gift to catch your attention. And then the gift kind of fizzles out. And then all the people go away except for a little group. And that little group, they want to hear the word. And that's what the third pull is. It's the opening of the word. It's the revelation of Christ himself into you. Into you. God making himself known. God revealing himself. It is a revelation. It's a revelation of himself. That's what it's always been. In the garden, it was a revelation of himself. In Moses, it was a revelation of himself. Praise be to God. See? Now, so see, it happened the other day. How do you know? How do you know that the rapture is not going on all the time? Huh? How do you know it's not happening all the time? Can you give me a scripture to prove it's not? Can you give me a scripture? You say, well, brother, the Bible says that you'll be changed in a moment, in a quickening of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye. That's true. And that has to happen to you. It has to happen. So, the question is, how does it happen? But the prophet told us that this rapture, Luther was a part, Wesley was a part, all the way, the prophets was a part, because they were building the revelation of the body. So they were all a part. Right. So the prophets say, now how do you know it's not going on all the time? Huh? Because the body comes to its completeness. It comes to the cap, which is the head, which is Christ, right, coming to complete the revelation. Amen. To complete the manifestation of himself, yes, in a bride that is without sin, that is without spot, that's without wrinkle. Yeah, that's the one we got. And that new birth, when that life comes into her, when that life comes into her, she is changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Not into that glorified body. That's coming. That's going to happen. You're going to go to that body. But if you're still here on this earth and Christ comes into you and you're caught up into him, he reveals himself through you. That's all. It's his life. You are born again, and it happens in a twinkling of an eye. See, how do you know the rapture's not going on all the time? See? That's right. Okay. I don't know why this thing. Okay. Okay, I'm going to read you this one little piece here. This is in page 377, paragraph 2, the ages. Thus what was thought to be the restoration and the final quickening unto the rapture had not come. It was a mixture of unrighteous partaking and of spiritual blessings. Now, this is the only place I added. I went back and added all around that to get the context of this, and I'm not going to read it to you. You can read it later. I put that little piece in there just to say, after he said, how do you know it's not going on? Here he's referring to a final quickening, a climax. He's referring to a final quickening of the rapture. So he'd already told us that it was going on. He already told us that these things were happening. That's right. Okay. One more, the token. I'm sorry, I'm keeping you. I'm sorry if I'm wearing you out, but this. If my computer hadn't shut down the other day, I would have never went back and found this message. And so there are some really good things that he said here. And of course, we're just about halfway, but you can read it, or if I feel led, I'll come back to it. So, paragraph 152. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I claim that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that's just the Bible, right? He's claiming the scripture. And I believe. Now, from the claim to belief. I believe that God gives the Holy Ghost as a token right now. In the evening time. He said, the token never came until the evening time. Read your token messages. There's four of them. See, I believe that God gives the Holy Ghost as a token right now, just before the Exodus. What's the Exodus? What's the Exodus, brother, sister? The bride going out of the church. That's it. He just keeps repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. The rapturing without death is coming out of all of those other ages, not just the seventh, every one of those ages, coming out of the Lutheran age, coming out of the Wesleyan age, coming out of Pentecost. The word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today. We're living in another day. This is the bride age. This is the rapture age. This is the time that Christ himself has come. And he's here in his fullness, in his entirety.
Amen.
If you need flesh, then look at one another. Look at your life. Because that's it today. That's how he promised to come. That's how he promised to manifest.
That's right.
Yes. This is it. You're it.
Amen.
You're the ones.
Yes, sir.
You will see him. Yeah. You will have a glorified body. This is not that.
Right.
This is Christ in his wife.
Amen.
Christ and the bride have become one. That's right. And she is him on the earth today. Brother Branham said the only way you will see God today is in the bride. That's the only way you're going to see him. There's no prophet, no messenger, no. It's just the bride. It's just the bride. And she's walking around just a little figure here and there. And all the world around her. She is Christ. She is the anointed Messiah. In this last days.
Amen.
Praise be to God. All right, I'm going to stop, but I don't want to. Do you love him? I hope you're okay. I hope you're okay. So let us stand together. Praise be to God. Oh, how great is our God. How wonderful. And we're going to ask Brother Bosworth to come and greet the people and pray for us and whatever he feels led to do. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Amen.
Bless you, saints.
Amen.
I hope you've been blessed. I won't take much of your time, so we just pray and close the service. Let's pray. Once again, Lord, we come before you this afternoon, Lord. You've blessed our hearts, Lord, Father, in a mighty way. Lord, Father, that may seem simple to greater men. They are great to us, Lord, Father, and in their simplicity, you've revealed yourself, Lord, Father, more and more, Lord, Father, and some of us, Lord Father, may remember the first time they heard this message, and it was a blessing to them, and the feeling was great, Lord Father, and each and every time they get to hear this message, sitting down there, Lord Father, and dining in your table, Lord Father, the same feeling, Lord Father, that they had the first time, it's the same great feeling, Lord Father, And it never changes, Lord Father. In magnitude, it never goes down. It never goes up, Lord Father. Because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord Father. We pray, Lord Father, that you may reveal yourself each and every time, Lord Father. Each and every time, Lord Father, that we feel we are hungering for your word, Lord Father. We pray that you may bring us together, Lord Father, like today. And we may dine on your table again, Lord Father. We pray, Lord Father, for those who are away, who couldn't make it, Lord Father, today. Pray that you may reach out your hands, Lord Father, to them, Lord Father, that they may also get to hear, Lord Father, this message of the hour. Be with each and every one of them, Lord Father, in different countries, Lord Father, in different homes. Be with each and every one of them, Lord Father. We pray, Lord Father, that whatever is in the hearts, Lord Father, of these brothers and sisters, may it be a need, Lord Father, may it be a want, Lord Father, of this worldly earth, Lord Father. May you grant it, Lord Father, but also remind them, Lord Father, that there is your will, Lord Father, and you've planned, Lord Father, like the things, Lord Father, that we are anticipating, Lord Father, the events, Lord Father, we commit them unto you, Lord Father, and we say, your will be done, Lord Father. Be with us, Lord Father, is our humble prayer. As we go out, Lord Father, protect us and guide us, Lord Father, each and every one of us. We pray that, believing and trusting in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.